2024. Just as a note, everybody is here today. Nobody is working remotely, so we don't have to take roll call other than the first roll call. So let's do this. As always, we'll be calling on directors to speak on items that push their speaker button. Please limit your comments to the matters not already addressed and state all of your points when you have the opportunity to do so, so we can move through our agenda. So, Nicole, would you take our first and last roll call, please?
Chair Rank.
Here.
Vice Chair Abdullahi.
Present.
Vice Chair Hogan. Director Acosta.
Here.
Bays.
Here.
Ike. Hilliker.
Here.
Hurst.
Present.
Katz.
Here.
Myers.
Here.
Ray.
Present.
Vespi. Wiley.
Here.
Yamani.
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum of the committee.
Thank you, Nicole. I have no additions to our agenda. At this time, I would like to ask if there are any members of the public wishing to comment on any items listed on the A&F committee agenda for today. Nicole, do we see anybody here or anybody in the
No one here. I will check in the waiting room. Okay. If there are public speakers in the Zoom waiting room, please raise your hand through the Zoom app or press star 9 if you are listening by phone. I see none.
Okay, thank you. I have no chair's report. Do I have any comments from my vice chairs or directors on the committee or directors in general? Okay, seeing none, moving right along. This month's consent calendar includes staff recommendation to note and file the monthly treasurer's report. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar? A motion by?
So moved.
Hurst.
Second.
Second by Yamani. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Okay. Action, discussion, presentation. First, we will have a presentation by Piers Roslin, our financial planning manager. He's going to present us an update snapshot on what's going on with our 24-25 rates and charges performance to date. Go ahead, Piers.
Good morning. Thank you. Appreciate being back here. It's been 1 month since I got 1 month for free, so I appreciate that. Here we are coming off of what we adopted in July. So going backwards a little bit, in July the board adopted a 14% effective rate increase. That was the result of months of work. We started the process in February, worked all the way through July. Typically, we get rates adopted in June. This took us a little bit longer in the July board meeting to get down to the 14%. We made a further deferral of a $7 million bifurcation project. The board directed the general manager to cut $2 million of additional operating budget expenses. In June, we had a request to come back with quarterly sales updates and financial updates. Coming back here in September and November. So that's why we're here today. And again, these rates will be effective January 1st of next year. When we concluded our June board presentation, after those rates were, that full rate decision was deferred until July, Moody's made a request, Moody's rating agency made a request for a full reading review. And those presentations, those meetings are underway. We met with Moody in the end of August. We presented where we thought the end of financial fiscal year 2024 would end up, and the very early draft of the five-year forecast. And a lot of that was building off of the financial roadmap that was presented to the board
have. Those are scheduled for October. A lot of work will be done with finance staff to develop a five-year forecast. That's in progress, and we're looking to finalize that ahead of the meeting with S&P and Fitch. That presentation, the five-year forecast, will be brought back to the board in November and shared with you then. There have been hopes to develop a long-range financial plan. Back in May and June, we had let the board know that if we didn't get the rating action adopted in June, that we simply didn't have enough time given trying to get the board to see everything, the iterative process. So the long-range financial plan will be pushed back to following next year's rate setting cycle. So again, hopefully starting in July of 2025 and being brought to the board in November of 2025. Because we're not developing the long-range financial plan, we fell back to the budget policy that was recently adopted and doing the five-year forecast ahead of the new two-year budget development. As we were all looking for, we hoped that there would be a repeat. We're continuing to have conversations about another water deal, replicating what was performed at the end of 2023. That water deal last year saved us, when all was said and done, about $20 million. The gears are in motion to replicate that. IID last month took the initial steps. IID needs to first identify how much water can be available, how much is going to be allowed off of our portion of the QSA supply. And so we're looking to replicate that. If we're able to, it's another $22 million benefit or so to the Water Authority this year. However, we do have to float the cost of both our MWD supply and the QSA supply. So essentially, for 50,000 acre feet of water that might be part of this deal, we have to buy 100,000 acre feet of water. And then once we're reimbursed, will be reimbursed for that second payment of 50,000 acre feet. So that's about a $17 million challenge to our reserves and our cash flow during that point in time. Another thing in terms of the roadmap and financials that we were forecasting is detachment. As we're all aware, Rainbow is looking to detach. There's a question in terms of when exactly, but right now the updated time is a detachment of November 1st, 2024. As part of that detachment process, there was an agreement signed for an accelerated payment of that defined LAFCO exit fee of roughly $15.8 million. That would be paid an accelerated time frame upfront within 90 days of that certification completion. We've since then learned that the full receipt of that $15 million, $16 million worth of exit fee may not be received within that 90-day window. We're working with Rainbow to identify what that payment schedule looks like. We don't have more information other than that, other than we're working with them. That would be about a $13 million impact on our reserves that we had expected, we had anticipated ahead of our April debt service payment. And so that's just $13 million less in the coffers than had been anticipated. When we talk about water sales, part of this update is a water sales forecast. Relative to where we have kind of reset in terms of the forecast, things are stabilizing. As you look at the calendar year sale to date, those green bars were what we budgeted, what were forecasted in our cost of service report last year. The lighter blue bars show you the actuals. And so that line that you see is the cumulative build of our shortfall in terms of acre feet of water sold. Right now we're about 50,000 acre feet less than we had set rates for last year. And of course, as we are highly dependent on variable revenue and those sales, that is an impact to our challenging. The part of the rate setting process, we no longer develop our forecast in-house. We work with the member agency, Water Resources provides a survey. That survey is returned in January of the year, and that's the starting number that we use for our rate setting process. Water Resources kind of scrubs that numbers, they revise it for April, and then they send it back to the member agencies to confirm. The member agencies confirm that number in April, but in June the board said, hey, resurvey. So Water Resources resurveyed, and that survey came back 17,000 acre feet below the April forecast that was used to set rates just 2 months ago. At 17,000 acre feet at our cost of water, that's a $25 million financial impact to the Water Authority in this current fiscal 25. You can see some agencies, agency by agency, some went up, some went down. You see the amount of volume that they changed in terms of their assumed purchases from the Water Authority in an acre foot basis, and then a percent of their total. Some went up, some went down, but in net, we see about a 6% decrease for their 17,500 acre feet from the prior guidance given. As such, we're going to really continue to monitor cash flows and reserves. That's critical for us. When we look at how we ended fiscal 24, over that fiscal year 24 period, we lost about $33 million of cash. In our unrestricted funds. So our rate stabilization fund, our operating reserve, those funds dropped 13% in the fiscal year. We closed the year with about 99 days of cash, about $100 million below our target, or 34% below our 150-day target. Looking ahead, we understand that we have future challenges. We have an October debt service payment, so we pay debt twice a year. Once in October, it's a smaller amount, and then in April, we have a much larger amount, about $103 million in April. We have the carrying costs of the potential water deal. We have the lower funding detachment, and it's really just looking at that water sales forecast. What's our ability to generate the necessary and plan cash flows to kind of rebuild those cash flow positions ahead of the next debt service payment. As we've talked about throughout the rate setting process, April 2025 is always going to be a pinch point for us. That's not enough months in the rate setting cycle of calendar 25 for those rates to take effect, and it's just a challenge until we get to see that. So right now, there's no immediate action requested by the board. The staff will continue to monitor. We'll present an update here in November alongside that five-year forecast. Leanne and the whole finance team will initiate the budget development of the new two-year budget. And as part of this whole ongoing conversation is meeting with the member agency workers, member agency general managers, finance officers, and consultants to look at how we can look at fixed cost recovery. I know it's frustrating for the board to, when you go into the next rate setting cycle, we're not only focusing on how to recover costs that are coming on from metropolitan and inflationary pressures, but we're trying to repair and recover shortfalls in years past. So having this group that's really focused on fixed cost recovery to plug that shortfall so the shortfall don't occur is the primary charge of that group. We have a meeting next week and hope to continue to move the deal. So with that concludes my presentation, and the entire team is here to answer any questions.
Okay, do I have any questions? I see nobody in the queue. Oh, Director Wiley.
Thank you, Chair Rand. Can you go back to slide 5? Just want to talk to you a little bit about the rainbow. So, and I'm glad to hear that you're working with us. I really hadn't heard much about this until about a week ago. And so, you know, and really that it was going to be some kind of a issue, right? And so if we look back to the... as far as the provisions that are in the settlement agreement, it was actually a concession on our end, right? And I felt it was very reasonable that, hey, if you didn't pay up front, there's interest, because that was not a requirement by LAFCO, right? It was basically carrying the money without interest. And so, but I felt like in the settlement agreement, that was a very reasonable request, and we signed off on it. Just to get the facts going, the timing is correct, right? And that was something that I did go back and forth with Dan on, as far as I knew that was kind of critical to you guys. When is it actually going to occur? And so we still are looking at November 1st. That's still a little bit fluid. There's a construction project we're wrapping up. And so, but in the next 6 to 8 weeks, we do expect to complete it. And that first $3.1, $3.2 million check will come along with that. So that's the first timing. On the last bullet there, it is a debt that we're dealing with, right? It's an almost $13 million debt beyond the initial payment. It's not insignificant to Rainbow. I know a lot of the talk around here has been it's insufficient and really not talking about it in a significant way. It's a big payment for about, we don't write a lot of $13, $14 million checks at Rainbow, I'll be honest, at a district our size. To put it into context, it's like 30% of our annual budget. That'd be like a $400 or $500 million payment in context here. So a little perspective on that would be good. I think we have been looking at all options to satisfy the debt, right? We are committed to satisfying the terms of the settlement agreement. I now realize this is a cash flow issue for the Water Authority, so that helps knowing that. I mean, hey, they're really looking for this payment to come through. So we have been looking at all options, and really our intent is to not finance through the Water Authority. Our intent is to do that outside. Maybe we can do a little better than the terms in the settlement agreement. So I'd say this last bullet that Rainbow now anticipates payments to be made over time, that's actually not correct. We do not anticipate extending those payments over any long period of time with the Water Authority. So I just kind of want to set the record straight. Everything's been great, really, with, in terms of the settlement agreement, staff, we've worked great with staff to kind of do all those terms. I just felt like this one kind of got on a telephone game a little bit, and I didn't really get a call until last week to really get the facts. And so, but I appreciate we are willing to, I mean, we want to work with the Water Authority to solve these issues. Again, it's very unique debt. It isn't a construction project where you can just tax-exempt debt or those different options that are available to you. So it's taking a little bit of creativity, to be quite honest. And so that's all I got.
Yeah, Director Wiley, I just wanted to comment a little bit. Agree with everything you said. And I know we continue to talk and work together. And you hit the nail on the head. This is a cash flow issue. It's a budget assumption that we made in a period of time, no different than demand projection. Things change. You can't hit stuff with pinpoint accuracy. So that's really the context, I think, for this board to understand in terms of what we're talking about. But thank you for those comments.
Any other speakers in the queue? Anybody want to talk? I just have a couple comments. First of all, it seems that over the years I've had so many presentations by Pierce Brosnan, and not a one of them was good news. And he has perfected the art. He should have worked for Genghis Khan explaining what improvements that Genghis Khan was going to make to the country she was invading. So, he's done a great job, and his sober and detailed explanations are really been helpful for me as chair of this committee, going through some interesting times. I think one of the things that this situation points out is there is a inherent value to liquidity in an organization, and the prime example is. We have another water transfer opportunity that would be beneficial to the Little Valley Center, the Water Authority, and the region. And then there's a question of, will we have the money to make this work? And so there's an inherent value to liquidity, and I think we need to keep that in mind. And then finally, I'm a fan of looking at what are your costs, what do you think you're going to sell, and how do you meet those costs, and that's how you set your rates. And then you say, but if this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, we can reduce that rate. Unfortunately, we've approached it from another standpoint. We've approached it from, these things are going to happen, ergo we can do 14%. And I think we need to really think about that, because there are things that we're counting on that are totally beyond the control of this organization. Like one, the weather, the federal government, the state government, and so forth. So I just, as we're about to re-enter the next two-year process, I'm hopefully under a new chair, keep that in mind, is that we can be hopeful, but hope is not a plan, folks. We need to be sober about what we're facing and what we have to do to meet those challenges. So that's all I have. Still don't have any other speakers, so we'll move right along. Our next presentations from Leanna White. She's our budget and treasury manager. One last comment. Please take a look at the controller's report. It really delves into a lot of the detail behind Pierce's report, and it's an interesting read, and I would recommend it. So, having interrupted that, Leanna White, go ahead, and you will cover the professional services contract with Chandler Asset Management. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. This item can be found on page 17 of our work packet. I wanted to provide a little bit of a background first on why we have an external investment manager. Prior to 2014, we managed the investment portfolio in-house. And in-house, we primarily invested in Camp, Lake, and Treasury securities. We did a full analysis on kind of portfolio management and if we could expand and greater our return on investment. So we contracted in 2014 with an external investment manager to diversify our portfolio, and they assisted us initially with medium-term corporate notes, expanding outside of the family of treasuries. We also were able to reduce the FTE working on the investment portfolio because we were provided access to CFAs, which we normally did not have access to in-house. And they provided us training to the board and to the PAVO group. And then in 2017, we diversified the portfolio even further and allowed the non-discretionary investment of both short and long-term investments with the external investment manager. Now, it's important to note that the contract is funded through investment earnings, and so anything that's invested that they earn, those fees for the external investment manager come out of those earnings. When we were able to diversify the portfolio, we substantially increased our investment earnings, essentially quadrupling the amount of returns that we were able to get. So we feel that this is a beneficial use to the water authority, and also to the board and to the member agencies, because they are able to provide training, access to market. We use them when we do economic forecasts for the budget, the five-year forecast, and the long-range financing plan. So as of July 31st, the water authority's total portfolio is approximately $357 million in operating capital funds. The operating portion is approximately $230 million, but about half of that is externally managed. The external management is both short and long term, but they also have a core liquid portfolio that we have quick access to, so when we have debt service payments coming out in October and in April, those are the shorter term liquid investments. And then a portion of the bond proceeds is also externally managed. Another thing that the external investment manager helps us monitor is our risk of arbitrage. So there are benefits to active management but non-discretionary. So external investment manager is required to obtain water authority staff approval from the director of finance treasurer before making any investments. process, making sure that we are investing in stuff that is within our investment policy. They do help us analyze the investment policy, make sure it's up to code, follow our government code for investments. And they monitor portfolio performance against benchmarks, which you see in the Treasury's report each time. And then they provide us some of the statements and reports on compliance. They also evaluate market risk and develop any recommended strategies to help us kind of adjust the portfolio as needed. We also report on maybe our cash flow needs. If we need a payment for, you know, a CID project or anything, they help us pull in investments if we need to get cash flows. And then they serve, again, as a general resource on Trimble. So today our staff recommendations to authorize the general manager to award a professional services contract to Chandler Asset Management for non-discretionary investment management services for a period of 3 years with an option to extend for an additional 2 years for not to exceed an amount of $550,000.
Thank you very much for the report. Director McMillan.
You know, the managed versus unmanaged portfolios is big in the literature of finance, we agree, right? And all of the literature seems to indicate that buying an index or buying an exchange-traded fund is cheaper in the long run. So why are you hiring a manager? I mean, you have an index because you measure yourself against an index, so you have some index that you think you want to do. So why are we spending this money if, and by the time we vote this afternoon, could you show us the literature where managed funds do better?
We can come back and show you the improved reports and the improved investments we've had since 2014 on the external management. But also, they provide us a greater access to market that we would not have those expertise in-house to be able to manage. And as I mentioned, it did allow us to eliminate an FTE that was working on the portfolio. And the annual fees in FY24, we only spent approximately $130,000 in the external management, which is less than what we would spend on an FTE or a CFA if we wanted to hire a CFA in-house. The Waterbury's portfolio is also rather small. So it provides us the greater access and expertise to market.
No, and I would agree on all the positive things you say. It's been shown that these exchange funds and everything, they have all those same abilities. They have experts and they have billions of dollars they're investing. So I'm torn on this one because I'm sort of an index guy or ETF.
Well, Director McMillan, the bottom line is that when Chandler Asset Management was engaged, they increased the investment income in millions of dollars. And these fees that we're paying them come out of that extra income that we would have never generated. So this contract pays for itself. We have access to 4 to 5 CFAs, which are special designated investment professionals that we can never hire internally. And they can do that extra additional credit analysis and invest among the spectrum of the investment policy. Internally, we would be limited, as Leanna said, to LAIF, CAMP, money markets, the more low-end securities. So again, this contract has fully funded and supported the returns that we received. And those extra millions of dollars that we receive because of the investments that we can make can offset the rates and charges.
Yeah, I mean, my argument obviously is that you were getting a low return if you'd been in an ETF or one of the others, you would have had a higher return anyhow. So I just questioned them. I mean, the literature is totally in favor of
non-managed funds. Well, I disagree
with
the literature that you're citing. I mean, before I was working at the Water Authority, I worked at the county, and we had, at the time, $6 billion investments. Now, when you have a portfolio that size, then you can have internal staff to manage the portfolio on a day-to-day basis. But when you have a portfolio size that's $300 to $400 million, you can't lend the expertise to getting the true professionals to invest the money to get the greatest return. And that's why smaller portfolios, and you'll see up and down the state of California, smaller portfolios that have $500 million or more generally do have external managers to invest the proceeds. And that just makes more sense because you don't have to have the internal staff. We also had a Bloomberg contract that we were using over $200,000 that we were able to eliminate. So again, the cost of this contract has far exceeded the returns that the Water Authority has gained.
No, again, and if you could show me some studies or something, I'd
appreciate it. Well, we can show you the returns that we made.
Your returns are internal. I mean, it's like people at my board, when something comes in $1 million less, they say, oh, staff, you were wonderful. Well, maybe we overbid, you know.
We don't have access to ETFs. As you know, in the government code, we're limited by fixed income. So,
right.
So your comparison does not compare.
Well, but you have an index that you compare your return to, so you believe that's a true statement.
Yes, we do think that we have an appropriate benchmark, which is...
I would suggest that between now and the board meeting, if there's information or data that we have, that you share that with Director McMillan. Seems to have some great concerns about this move. This back and forth is interesting, but I think we should take a sidebar and you guys work it out. And then you can determine how you want to vote, later on in the board meeting. Director Yumani.
Thank you. Through the chair, I just wanted to ask, what's the benefit of a 3-year contract?
It's standard to have a 3-year contract with a 2-year renewal. That's just the general practice of the Water Authority whenever we enter into a professional services contract.
It's always 3 years.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Katz.
Yes, I want to check down. Thank Leanna and Lisa Marie for this presentation. I think this makes a lot of sense and is the right way to go. And I can move approval of this recommendation.
I have a motion. I have a second. I have a second by Director Hurst. Director Leahy.
Thank you. And just to Director Millen, it sounds like you're a bobblehead, which I would give you a thumbs up. The City of Oceanside uses Chandler Investments and has been very happy with their performance, and then just comparing their fees. So their fee schedule is on page 163 of the packet, which thank you, Tish, for pointing that out to me yesterday. But just to point out that assets in excess of $250 million, the fee itself is only 0.03%, 3 of 1%. So they're pretty manageable, which normally in personal finance, you'd be charged about 1%. For an active management program. So I think for such a large investment portfolio, this is pretty standard and typical.
Thank you. I have no more speakers in the queue. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, moving right along. Our general manager will now present the annual report on the 2023-2027 business plan performance. So, Dan?
Go ahead. Yeah, thanks, Director Rand. So I just want to tee this up for our administrative services director, Jason Foster. Many of you have seen this business plan in the past. It's a 5-year rolling average of some of our goals. I think what I would frame what you're about to hear with is that we're continuing to looking at doing things a little bit differently. So I think that next time this comes back to the board, the business plan in some form will look a little bit different. What we're trying to do is slim it down in many ways. But despite that, I suspect that the major themes will stay the same. Water facilities, business plan services, and water supply management. So Jason's gonna go through the goals that we have, 99 of them, and give you a status update on where we're at.
Yeah, all 99, one by one.
Start with number one.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning, Chair Rand. Good morning, members of the board. So as Dan mentioned today, I'm gonna give you a brief overview of the Water Authority's business plan highlights from the most recent fiscal year that ended on June 30th. As Dan said, many of you know the business plan, but if some of you are less familiar with it, it really is a roadmap for achieving success that follows strategies, policies, and procedures adopted by this board. The report is on page 19 of your board packet. Next slide. So, before I hit the highlights, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about our business plan process. This is something that we don't just develop and put on the shelf. This is plan that we actively manage and monitor our progress toward objectives, and then we update it as needed. While the business plan has a 5-year horizon, We measure our progress every 6 months, and we update the board on our progress annually, as we're doing today. And then we refresh our goals and objectives every 2 years. As Dan mentioned, we're going to go back and put a little bit of thought and the process of how we're going to make this plan look in future years. But by having this constant review process, it helps us stay accountable to our objectives, yet it allows us to be flexible and accommodate new conditions, new priorities, new direction for this board. So the plan and our detailed progress reports, they're also posted on our website, sdcwa.org, so that it's transparent to the public as well as this board. And this is the this most recent progress report that I'm highlighting today. It's our fourth and the last one we will do related to the 23 through 27 business plan. And then, as Dan mentioned, we're going to start going through an update process to refresh the goals and objectives moving forward. Next slide. So, as Dan mentioned, we have three key focus areas related to our key areas of business: water supplies, water facilities, and business services. They're broken down into about 10 program areas, and their objectives within each program area, there are 99 in all in this particular business plan. And so now we'll get into looking at the progress that we've made over this last year. So next slide, please. So this chart basically sums up our performance of our business plan objectives after 2 years of reporting out on this particular set of objectives in this business plan. Out of the 99 objectives, more than a third have been listed as complete. We mark those in our reports with a blue one drop. And I want to take a moment to clarify what we mean by a goal being completed. It really can mean two things. One is, for example, if you complete, say, a construction project. Construction project is over, it's done, boom, we move on, and then it's over. But we also have objectives, many of them in water management or finance, for example, where we set out objectives to achieve certain milestones within the timing of the business plan. And if we achieve that milestone, we'll mark it as complete. But that doesn't mean that the work on that particular objective is over. So, for example, a lot of our work in redesigning our rates and charges, we'll make changes that achieve a milestone, but that doesn't mean that the work of this board and the staff toward managing our rates and charges and changing our rate policy is done. Continue that work over time. So just keep that in mind when you see the objectives marked as complete. We mark objectives that are on track to be completed by the original target date with a blue drop, and nearly half of our objectives are on that status right now. Many of our objectives are long term, and so after 2 years, to have that many still on track is still a very good thing. Of course, in any we set up very ambitious goals and objectives as our agency. We have a lot of we don't just try and set the bar really low; we set it very high. And of course, sometimes from time to time, you will not achieve your objectives on target by the target date. So we have a handful of objectives that were not completed for various reasons. One, if the objective wasn't completed on time due to circumstances that we're responsible for, they'll get a red three drop. We have about six of those in this current business plan. Sometimes the board will give us new direction that might delay or defer or eliminate an objective from our business plan. We've had two of those in this current business plan cycle. Those are marked with a four or a yellow drop. And lastly, sometimes objectives will not be completed on time due to circumstances that are entirely beyond our control. Actions by state agencies or regulators, for example, that affects the timing of getting a goal objective completed. Then we'll mark it with a black five drop. We have eight of those in this current business plan reporting cycle. So now let me get into some of the highlights on specific objectives. So a few of the objectives that we completed within this last 12 months of reporting on the business plan. In December, we entered into a landmark water exchange agreement over some of our Colorado River water supplies to boost water levels in Lake Mead and combat upward pressure on wholesale water rates. And that allowed us to say that our goal of developing new storage or management options for Colorado River supplies was completed. But as Pierce mentioned earlier, and those we're still working on new water deals and new water management solutions, so that doesn't mean that our work in that agreement is over. We did complete several construction and maintenance projects, such as the rehab of our first aqueduct treated water tunnels. We did have a ceremony and other activities to commemorate the 20th anniversary of our historic water transfers as part of the qualification settlement agreement. Voted on the slide is from one of the main event there, which was a great affair. And we did complete, we worked with Great Work Group and the Financial Strategy Work Group to evaluate rates and charges and implement some changes to our rate design. That included the new transportation fixed charge and an updated methodology for several other charges that we did back in February. But again, that's another goal that we marked as complete, but it means that there's still more work to be done in the future. And then lastly, among our highlights, we did complete an independent safety program analysis to help determine ways we can enhance safe working conditions for all staff. So now let me take a moment to just highlight a couple of things that were not completed on time. So things that were delayed or deleted, one of those objectives was the completion of the 2023 Water Facilities Master Plan. That process was put off a bit due to allowing the detachment process to proceed. So it's about delayed by about 9 months, but it is still proceeding, and we're anticipating, I think, the completion to be done by next spring. Another objective that was not completed was we wanted to advocate the state to adopt a state drought action plan that would protect the local supplies that we have so meticulously developed over the years so that they can still be used. But as you all know, we've had two very wet years in a row, and the state, not surprisingly, put a state drought action plan on the back burner. And so that objective was pretty well put away, again, due to factors beyond our control. So that was an objective, that was marked number five in our report. And then lastly, we had intended to do a construction of a Poway 5 flow control facility. That was a joint effort with the city of Poway, but the city of Poway opted not to proceed with that project, which was their right to do. So again, that was another example of an objective that we originally set out to do, but was not completed due to those kinds of circumstances. So, next slide, please. So finally, I mentioned earlier that the business plan and our progress reports are on our main website, sdcwa.org. I just wanted to show you where that is. So this is a screenshot from one of our recent, not on the homepage. The images on the homepage are a little different, but the navigation is the same. So if you look at the top, you'll see our main navigation. If you go over to the About Us tab on the far right side of the screen, we'll see a drop-down menu that includes the business plan about halfway down. You can link to the actual plan itself, which is very detailed. And then underneath it, you can see links to the latest progress report, which shows you the full detail as you see in your board packet. And so that gives the public a way to see that as well. With that, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Excellent presentation, Jason. Thank you. Do we have any questions, comments? I see nobody in the queue. Okay, this was an information item. Speaking of that, we have several information items on the agenda. One is a report on purchase orders and contracts for goods and services above $10,000. The annual OPEB and pension update. Controller's report on monthly financial activity. And then the consent calendar. Board calendar. No closed session. Before I adjourn the meeting, I did look around the room this morning and did observe one of our board members seemed very relaxed today. And that's the outgoing board chair. He seemed relieved and smiling a lot. And I just have to say a couple things. One, I've appreciated his leadership and openness and driving this agency through a really couple of tough years. And speaking of tough years, to paraphrase the great Sally Fields, when I heard he had appointed me chair of A&F, I thought, he really likes me. Until we went through two budget cycles, then I realized, well, no, this is how he got even. So I started checking all my emails, letters, postcards, anything I'd ever said. Why is he trying to get even with me? And I could never find out why. So he's gonna have to explain that to me at some point. But anyway, just for my behalf as chair of this committee, I appreciate Mel's leadership over the last couple of years and look forward to him still working with us on the board of directors. And with that, I see no other speakers, no other questions, and we are adjourned.